Hello and welcome to season two of Resync.
Season two.
An Assassin's Creed podcast. What is up, everybody?
What's up?
I'm your host, Landon Plumley, with my lovely associate slash co-host slash best friend extraordinaire, Mr. Lucas.
That's me.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm really tired because it's late.
It's very late for us. You want to explain why it's so late?
Basically, I suck at life. I decided to get drunk instead of play Assassin's Creed. and then I played Assassin's Creed really late after work today.
Yep.
And hence the lateness of now.
Yeah. Man, I'm going to have to get right on uploading this, too, for Patreon.
Ah, shit.
Yeah, which quick shout-out to our Patreon subscribers.
Oh, yeah.
Really appreciate the support. Patreon's going well. Like I said, we've got a couple tiers right now. Want to continue to reiterate that. In case you guys didn't watch the bonus episode from last week, we have a Patreon now, so that'll be linked below. Also at patreon.com/resyncpodcast. So you can go, there's a couple tiers you can subscribe to if you'd like to help support the show, because this isn't free to produce and it helps us out a lot. And we're hoping to have some really cool extra bonus content on there, as well as early access to these episodes ad free. And so lots of cool stuff there. But thank you to our Patreon subscribers.
Yes. Good times. Thank you guys.
So, yeah, we wanted to do something cool going into season two, and that was what we decided. So, how's it going, guys? We're here. We've made it to Assassin's Creed 2. We started with Assassin's Creed Lineage last week in our bonus episode, of which I had a trivia question that I'll go over real quickly here. Last week's trivia was that, how many parts was Assassin's Creed Lineage? Because it is a short film, but it was broken up into little segments that were released in the weeks prior to Assassin's Creed 2's release. How many parts were there? Well,
it was three.
The correct answer was three. Three parts. Which, you know, is kind of not too difficult to deduce, just because there are three main settings in the film. So they each kind of have their own distinct little, like, sense of atmosphere, I guess you could say. But yeah, it was released in three parts. And so congrats to all who answered correctly. We'll get into this week's trivia question later on, but we're now in Assassin's Creed 2 proper.
Heck.
And, I mean, it's the best Assassin's Creed for a reason. Now, obviously, this is sequence one, this is the start, but boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about.
Man, does it go hard.
Right out the gate. And it is just a phenomenal video game.
Yes.
Lucas, initial first impressions. Or I guess I could say second impressions. Or, you know, 15th impressions at this point, because it's great. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
I forgot how, like, almost fast and slow it felt at the same time. Like, all the Desmond stuff is like, we gotta go, let's get out of here. And then, like, all the Ezio stuff is like, let's take our time, let's get to know this family. And it's just like this weird, like, double, like, personality of story.
Juxtaposition. That's the term for that.
Hey.
Yeah.
Words.
It creates an interesting juxtaposition between the fast pace of the modern day story versus the slow, almost sensual nature of Ezio's side of the story. At least for this sequence.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for the end of the sequence, which we'll get into soon, I mean, you know, things are popping off. But, yeah, we're getting into here now, which, I mean, leading into the game, it just recaps the first game. It gives a little quick synopsis, gets you up to speed, just in case it's been a couple years since you played. And, you know, Lucy's taken away. And Desmond is kind of alone and not sure what's going to happen to him, whether he's going to live or die. Who knows? Yeah. He's kind of in a bit of a limbo. But then all of a sudden, Lucy shows up and opens his door and instructs Desmond to get in the Animus, saying there's not a lot of time. She's all hurried. Crazy stuff. What's going on? So next, they look for a memory match between Desmond, who is subject 17 of the Animus program, and a currently unknown subject 16. Interesting stuff. Why are they looking for things, you know, that are connecting the two? I don't know.
Who knows?
Well, that connecting memory is Ezio Auditore da Firenze.
Yeah.
The goat.
You see his baby.
Yes, you get to witness the birth, and you get to control him straight out of the womb. You get to throw punches and kicks and little head bobbles.
You get to be baby.
Be baby. Baby assassin.
I love how they give you, like, the little, like, the control tutorial as the baby, though. So they're like, it's like, head, you move your head. And you just, like, move your head. And it's like, use your offhand. And kicks.
You kick. Yep.
It's so goofy. I love it.
It's great. I love that little creative bit they got going on there. And then you sneak slash fight your way through Abstergo. She gets the memory footage and she was like, yep, this is the one. All right, let's go. And y'all escape Abstergo running through. Lucy kicks some ass.
I didn't remember her being as badass as she was for some reason. Like, she would, like, throwing people on the ground, taking two people at once. Like, goddamn.
Yeah. She be doing shit. She is definitely well trained. But there's also a point where they're going through this security room, of which Lucas and I were talking about earlier, about the plural form of animus. Animuses? Animi? Shut the fuck up. And so when they're in this room, however, Desmond is able to activate Eagle Vision to get a passcode for the door. Something that appeared a couple times in the first Assassin's Creed game when he would go to sleep and then have visions of Eagle, or have little, like, dreams of Eagle Vision, and then finally activates Eagle Vision on his own at the very end of the game, leading into the start of this game.
Yeah.
So now, you know, there's this Eagle Vision that he can use. Next, Lucy kind of throws Desmond into a trunk, you know, they fight some more people, and then she's like, hey, I need you to get in here, it's for your own safety. And he's like, oh, man, nads. And so, you know, that's right. But they escape.
He's in the trunk, but they escape.
Yeah. And Lucy explains that Desmond needs to train using the bleeding effect from the Animus to basically absorb assassin training to fight the Templars.
Yeah, and basically just become the biggest badass assassin ever.
Pretty much, yeah. And so it was like, yeah, I mean, you can use the Animus to kind of learn traits from your assassins as you're living through those memories. And he pretty, like he doesn't put up much of a fight. He's just like, yeah, no. Okay.
He's like, yeah, let's do it.
Like, you know what? Yeah.
And Lucy's like, man, I thought I was going to have to convince you more. And then he's just like, no, fuck these guys.
Yeah, exactly. which I do think is in part to the bleeding effect that's already taken place with Altair.
Oh, yeah, he already's like, he hates the Templars, and, like, that's kind of, like, bleeding, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something purposely done by Ubisoft, but I've always kind of seen it as, like, you know, he's gotten, part of that mentality already. I don't think he's consciously aware of it, but I do think he's got that. He already has the upbringing of an assassin. He's already aware that the Templars are a threat, and then having that training starting to seep in from Altair, I think it does influence his decision in a way.
Yeah, for sure.
And so he quickly gets introduced to Sean Hastings and Rebecca Crane.
Hell yeah.
The two Assassin's Creed characters that have appeared the most in the entire franchise.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's due to certain events that we'll get into later, there's all kinds of different stuff that happens to a lot of people. But the characters that have been in the games the most are actually, I believe Rebecca Crane probably takes the title. I don't know. I think there's been games where only Rebecca was in it, and there were games where only Sean was in it.
Yeah.
But I feel like they only have like one each. It's pretty close. I don't know the number off the top of my head. But these are some Assassin's Creed mainstays we've got over here. But Lucy gives the memory code from Abstergo over to Rebecca, and she starts tinkering with the Animus. Because they have their own Animus.
Yeah.
That looks cool.
It's better.
Yeah. The Animus 2.0. But we'll get into that in a sec. So next, Desmond thanks Lucy for helping him escape and apologizes for his earlier incompetence, which she kind of brushes off. Because, I mean, honestly, it's very valid. You get kidnapped by somebody, you know, I mean, I'd be a little upset,
too. Yeah, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. You know, how is he supposed to know that Lucy was on his side? But, you know, and honestly, he was pretty nice to Lucy from the jump. He didn't really do all that much to her.
I mean, what are you going to do when Kristen Bell's like, hey.
Exactly. Exactly. You're going to be like, you know what? Fuck yeah. Yeah, let's do it. And so he then you can also ask her about your eagle vision, which she contributes to the bleeding effect, saying that you get eagle vision from Altair. So we already know that he has some sort of, you know, he's gained something from Altair. So that's also kind of why I'm thinking more like get into more of that assassin mindset. But then you can also go over and talk to Sean and ask about his research. And he basically...
He's like, you're a pussy.
He's basically like, you wouldn't understand, you idiot. It's really important stuff that is way better than your puny little existence. And says that he is the... well, basically, Rebecca chimes in to explain that Sean is the knowledge expert of the group as well as the head of comms with all of the field agents that the assassins have. So... a bit of a bigwig in the assassins community, you know. He is a pretty important guy, but he's very much a dick about it.
He's a dick.
So, you know.
He called like Desmond a baby, basically, because he was like not fighting out in the field.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, meanwhile, well, Sean is also not fighting in the field.
It's like okay.
Yeah, all right. Pussy. And so when he asks her about her role, Rebecca explains that she basically keeps the Animus 2.0 running. And so she's kind of like the engineer, repair mechanic lady.
She's smart.
Yeah, she's a little smart cookie. We love Rebecca. Rebecca's great. And then you're instructed to hop in this Animus and see what's going on. Enter 1476, Repubblica Florentina.
Hell yeah.
We're in Italy, and we get to play as Ezio Auditore da Firenze.
And you're here to start some shit.
Yeah, 100% antagonizing Viero de Pazzi. Yeah, there's some gang warfare going on. I mean, just Italians being Italians. And so, they get into a big old fist fight. And his older brother Federico also joins in, basically coming in and being like, man, you're so stupid, little brother. And then it's like, fuck it.
Well, he's like, can you even take all these guys? Like, yeah, and like I'm going to make sure you get.
Right, exactly. Like, there we go. And so they have a little fun. But Viero also chucks a rock at Ezio's face and gives him a nice little scar.
A little scurry.
Yeah.
And then, I think it's crazy. Like, you're like looting those guys to like, you know, because you have to get
the money for the doctor.
And it's like, get 200. And I was like, that's a lot to loot for this freaking thing. And then I looted one of the guys. It was like 110. I was like, holy cow.
Yep.
Just carrying that much money on him.
Yep. I literally, like every single time I play this game, I will loot every single body. I don't just go to 200 because I'm like, no, give me all the cash. I loot everybody. That's part of why I'm so rich in this game. I loot everybody. No pocket left behind. But so then, yes, Ezio goes to the doctor with Federico and is then challenged to a race on the way home. So this is a, you know, you get introduced to like the doctor system. If you're ever injured, you could go to a doctor and get healed up. You can also get upgrades to your medicine pouches and stuff.
Which I always thought was, I like, even back when I was playing, I never really understood the doctors because like if you're not like detected, your health just goes up.
Yep. Yeah, it kind of felt like an unnecessary inclusion. And you also have medicine.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense for the medicine upgrades.
Yeah, for the medicine upgrades, fine.
But, like, I don't really need to heal. Why would I spend money on that?
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if it was free.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to spend money when it'll just happen naturally.
It'll just go up.
I'm not that bad at video games.
I'll just hide in a fucking hay stack for, like, 30 seconds and I'll be good.
Yeah, exactly. So, a little weird, but, you know, play doctor looks cool.
He does look cool.
He's a chill bro. But, yeah. Federico challenges you to a race, and you race to the top of a nearby church, basking in the glorious life that you live. Did you win your race?
Yeah, I won my race.
Okay.
Did you go, like, follow him and, like, go all the way up and around, or did you just, like, cut through the alley and just, like, doop, doop, doop?
Nah, I did the thing because I wanted it to be all cinematic. But I didn't follow him, though. I pretty much blasted away from him, and then I just went with what felt natural with the parkour.
I just went, like, straight towards the church, and then I turned left at this, like, wall, and I didn't climb, and I went on, like, this, like, little roof area to the church, and I was just, like, right there. I was like, ah, that was easy.
Very risky, though, because what if you hit an area you couldn't climb, and you said, then you'd be losing time.
I trusted it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it paid off at the end, so, you know, you made the right call. But yeah, those are, and then that's a bit of like your first introduction to parkour in the game, which is so much faster than the first game.
Yes.
Like I still think the parkour in the first game was good outside of like a couple small issues. But they refined it so much in terms of the speed. You can go flying up them walls. Don't know if they did much with the physics though, because I definitely had a time in this sequence where I was at a sink point. And I went to jump into the haystack, and he just jumped in the completely wrong direction and face planted and died. So I was like, that is stupid.
Awesome.
But, so you know, still some things here and there. But overall, a very good parkour system that has been improved. It's a lot quicker. You feel like a bit of a spider monkey, and it's awesome.
Yes.
But very good stuff. And so after their little church top little rendezvous, Ezio decides, I'm not gonna go home just yet.
Yeah, I need some poo-tang.
He needs him some pussy. So he goes to Christina's place. And so, you know, doing the nasty with her. And he's a bit of a cavalier about it. He's very much like, you know, if I seduce you, babe, type shit. He'd be all over the place. He'd be Mr. Suave.
Yeah. My favorite is when he gets down there and she goes, who's there? And he goes, me. Yep. like, that was helpful.
Well, she knows his voice. How could you forget that voice? Ezio Auditore. Love Ezio. But he ends up staying the night. And who comes in the morning but her father.
Oof.
Who sees him and immediately shouts for the guards to kill him.
Oof.
So you know, this is your first chase by the guards, which, again, I really love the intro of this game because it brings a lot of concepts back from the first game in terms of the combat and the, you know, the structure of, like, notoriety, things like that, all that stuff, but introduces it in such an organic way. Whereas in the first game, everything was kind of taught to you under the guise of you've been stripped of everything and need to relearn, but it's very much still in the assassin's way. This is, well, this has just been this kid's life. This is how it's going. And I really like the different approach to it and how it all kind of like leads to the same result, but told in a completely different way.
And I also like feeling like I'm learning with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like instead of like this master assassin just forgot how to do shit. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Everything makes a lot more sense and just really well told. And I like it a lot. And so after that little chase with the guards, you return home where your father, Giovanni, basically is like, man, you're really irresponsible. Just like me, my boy. I'm proud of you.
He's like, you chasing tail, you causing trouble. My man.
Oh, that's my son right there. And it's basically, all right, I need you to deliver some letters. Do some actual work now, you little shithead. This is going to Lorenzo de Medici, who you might remember from Assassin's Creed Lineage, for those that listen to the bonus episodes. This is somebody that Giovanni is close with. However, when you go to deliver this letter, he ain't even home.
Where he at?
Where he at, though? Can't find him, and so it's all crazy. But you do start to run around the city a little bit, where you start getting access to other things. You can buy a map for all the chests in the area, which I buy because them shits rake up money. That's the other reason of why I'm so rich, is because I will immediately buy that map so I know where all the money is in the city, so I can just get money. So it's fantastic. But when you get back, his father is actually talking with Uberto, a close friend that is attempting to reassure him. So this guy was also an Assassin's Creed lineage, another friend, but one that actually hid information from Giovanni. So someone that is a little suspicious.
A little sus.
A little sus. And we find out why he's sus here pretty soon. So your mom, Maria, asks you to help her out with an errand. You've got a bunch of family members. Dad's basically like, hey, I'm busy with Uberto. Go help out. You know, your mother and siblings want to talk to you. So I started with Maria. I don't know which one you started with, but
is Maria the sister?
Your mother.
No.
There's Maria, Claudia, and Petruccio.
I started with Claudia.
Gotcha. So I started with Maria, and she asks you to help her out with an errand. She's got to see a painter about some art.
Yeah, who also a Ninja Turtle.
Because that man is Leonardo da Vinci, which is pretty cool. She introduces him to da Vinci, but right as they're getting to the door, she talks about how he needs to get some more hobbies, to which Ezio says, I have hobbies, mother. And he goes, she goes, besides vaginas, of which he gives the very memeable face of the mother.
Besides vaginas.
It's a great line. It's probably my favorite Assassin's Creed line of all time. It's great. It's fantastic. It's that and then Requiescat in Pace. I mean, those are the big two. But fantastic time. And so introduces her to Da Vinci. We saw there's some paintings and they walk and they kind of talk a little chit chat. But yeah, a little cool little thing. Wonder if he's going to stick around. But anyway.
Yeah.
Next, Claudia tells Ezio that her boyfriend Duccio cheated. So he's going to go fuck him up. He said, nah, fuck this dude. And so you go hunting for him. Find him in a courtyard. He's flirting up a bitch. He's over here.
She's not even cute. What's he doing?
That's what I'm saying. Like, from Claudia, she a downgrade. Get out of here. And so, he walks up. He got aura. He just like, hey, Duccio, you a bitch.
Yeah, and what are you doing talking to this whore?
Literally. Bro came swinging. He's like, this stupid whore is nothing. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then proceeds to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's him.
It's great. It's fantastic. Next, Ezio's youngest brother asks him to bring him feathers, refusing to tell him what he wants them for.
But, you know, you get those feathers.
You get those feathers. And so you start collecting some feathers, and that leads me to this week's trivia question. What's the name of the little brother? Yeah. You got Federico. What is the youngest brother? The youngest Auditore. What is his name? Tell me. And I'll congratulate you. So that's a trivia question for this week. Once you're done helping out your family, Giovanni asks you to deliver two more letters and then retrieve one from the pigeon coop. You're back to being the mail boy.
Yeah.
And so, basically, you give some letters to some suspicious people.
The one guy is, like, gross looking.
Talking about the one with the prostitute or the other
one? Yeah, the prostitute.
Yeah. So you've got these, like, you know, peasants and the prostitutes that you're kind of giving stuff to. And it's basically like, oh, you look just like Giovanni, or like, are you with Giovanni? And then the prostitute's like, obviously, he looks just fucking like him, you fucking idiot. You
stupid dumbass.
You know, but some interesting individuals that a banker would be in contact with. But then the other one is just a very shady individual who warns Ezio to tell Giovanni to leave.
Get out.
But, you know, he's too late. because by the time he gets back from collecting that letter from the chicken coop, he comes home to Giovanni, Federico, and his younger brother all hauled off to prison, with Maria in shock.
Yeah.
Everything's crazy
right now.
They've been arrested. So they're also hunting for Ezio. So he goes to find his father, literally goes to the prison and sneaks up to the gate where he's at.
You climb up his tower, which also I was doing that and I was like, how is this he the only guy I saw up here? Where's the rest of the fucking prisoners at? Being like, hey, there's a dude climbing this tower.
Well, hey, crime rate's really low.
I guess so.
I don't worry about it. And so, you know, you climb up there to go talk to your dad. And at the prison, Giovanni tells Ezio to find a hidden entrance in his office to a chest and to take everything in there, including a letter to give to Uberto to clear their names. And it's basically like, hey, yeah, there's going to be some stuff in there that's not going to make a lot of sense. You're going to take it anyway, and it's going to be great. But you're also going to take this letter and give it because it's going to clear our names and everything's going to be fine. And so Ezio's like, hell yeah. And so he goes home, uses Eagle Vision to find this hidden entrance. He has to use his special abilities that Giovanni alluded to.
Yeah.
And in this chest, Ezio finds the classic assassin robes. The
fucking robes, baby.
As well as a sword and a broken hidden blade. Some sort of mysterious device alongside the letter. And so we finally get to suit up and become the assassino.
Yeah, getting the sword out.
Yup. Start slashing some bitches and looting them.
And looting
always
them.
Loot the bodies.
Get the money. Get the
no pocket left behind. Big money moves. And you fight your way to Uberto pretty much. And so, you know, you basically go up to Uberto, and he's over. He's like, what are you doing? I'm so late. What's going on? And you hand him this letter, and he's like, oh, hell yeah. I'm going to have them acquitted in the morning.
This proves that they're innocent.
Exactly. Everything's going to be A-okay. Except it's not. Because when you go to the acquittal in the morning,
they're Lynch.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. They're hung for their crimes. Uberto says that they're traitors, condemning their father and brothers to death, and just straight up hang them. Which, like, his little brother's, like, 8 years old.
Yeah, that was
just hung an 8-year old kid in front of a crowd, and, like, that was a thing. Absolutely wild. What did the 8-year old do? What did the child do?
He just wanted to collect his feathers, man.
He just wanted his feathers! So yeah, Ezio is obviously a little upset about the loss of the majority of his family.
Yeah, and he's like, basically, Roberto, you're a bitch, and you're gonna die.
Yeah, but then he gets chased by a lot of guards. And he's forced to flee the scene.
And they're scary, too. They were, I was scared. I was like, I don't know if I can fight these guys.
Yeah, those were some big boy guards. It is a run. As the same person we delivered one of the letters to, the guy with the prostitute, is there and tells him to run.
Now he's like, you better run.
Yup. Better get out of here. And get out of here, you do. And that is what signals the end of sequence one.
Completed.
Absolutely. Just such a glorious intro for the game. Yes. There is so much that happens in there between a modern day breaking out with Abstergo through, you know, everything with Ezio and just setting up all this stuff. Like, you've got all the exposition. You get time with each family member.
Yeah, you're spending time. You're like, hey, it's your brother. Hey, it's your other brother.
My brother.
And now it's just like, hey, fuck your brothers.
They're all dead.
All dead.
All dead. All the males in the family are dead except for you. You are now the only penis in the Auditores.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's a big show. It's because, you know, there's this very slow uptick and, like, we're introducing you to everybody and there's very family oriented and they live a pretty good, solid life. Everything seems real cool. And then it's not.
And then it's not.
Everything goes to shit.
It's really not. It gets bad.
Yeah. But
Then, you know, Ezio is going to fix everything by just murdering everyone who ever did anything bad to him.
He's in a quest for vengeance. The quest is just beginning. Mm-hmm. But I love this sequence. It's made me super excited to keep going. I cannot wait to get deeper into the upgrade systems and start adding some more stuff, getting stronger, getting the hidden blade working, start getting into some actual assassin stuff.
I just can't wait to like customize my outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have cosmetics in this game.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I already have the bonus outfit on.
Oh, really?
Yep. But, yeah, lots of really, really awesome stuff. Like I said, this is the best Assassin's Creed game, in my opinion. It gets off to a super strong start.
So good.
I cannot wait to go in more. Next week, we'll get into Sequence 2, where, you know, lots of cool stuff happens. We start to learn some cool assassin abilities and all kinds of fun stuff. But before we get out of here, a couple things I wanted to mention first in the world of Assassin's Creed. Well, those that were hoping they were Valentine's Day would be filled with shadows in Japan, we'll have to wait a little bit longer because Assassin's Creed Shadows has been delayed once again to March 20th. So not as big of a delay this time. They pushed it back another month just to do the polish, which honestly I'm A-okay with.
As long as they're making it good.
Yeah, and February is stacked. I mean, we've got Monster Hunter Wilds, we've got Avowed, we've got Civilization 7. I mean, there's a lot of games in February, like really big games that I personally think are all going to do better than Assassin's Creed Shadows. And so I really do think that it drowns it out a lot. Whereas in terms of March, like there are some games coming out, but I think it's much more open. I think it gives Shadows like more time to shine. And so I think it's a very good move. However, it's also very adamantly like still in this fiscal year because they did this press release where they talked about it and making sure that it still hits this fiscal year because that's what matters to the shareholders. So the only thing that concerns me is you pushed it back, but you kept it in the fiscal year. What if it needs to be pushed back even more, but now you're just trying to get it out?
Get the money, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Like I said, overall, I'm still positive with it because, again, I do not think it should have come out in February. I'm cool. I'm A-okay with it getting moved out of that month. It gives it a better chance to thrive, but I'm just worried that, you know, now it's becoming more of a financial thing and it's still not ready. But we'll see. We'll see about that.
Hopefully it doesn't suck.
Yeah. But also alongside that, when this happened, basically Ubisoft was getting some pushback from their shareholders. And there was a essentially like an earnings call where a bunch of shareholders started grilling the leadership at Ubisoft and basically being like, hey, we've put a lot of money into this company. Where's that money? And their response was basically, yeah, we're looking at different options right now on how to get your money. And that's about it. And they're not happy. Ubisoft's in some hot water right now.
Yeah, because that's exactly what you want to hear as a shareholder.
Exactly. And so it's a whole thing. The specific quote that they were talking about was, the aim of this process is to unlock the greatest potential from our assets for the benefit of our stakeholders. We can't say any more than that. So it's interesting. They mentioned that they have developed a team to explore strategic and capitalistic options in order to fully exploit the value potential of our assets, and just a lot of politician ass answers and a lot of nothing. And respect to the shareholders, they called them out for it. They said, can you be more specific? And they're basically like, no. So it's interesting. Now, the one thing people have been pointing out is that if there is a deal going on, if there is currently negotiations for a buyout, Ubisoft is not allowed to say anything. It would violate international, I believe, negotiation laws or something like that. There's something along those lines. It would violate law. So they're not actually allowed to talk about buyouts. So some people are wondering if they're being vague because they're trying to get bought out and they're shopping around different partners, or if they're just trying to be vague to hold on to hope that, you know, either Assassin's Creed Shadows is a success or they have a really big, like, resurgence this year. Because either way, it seems like Ubisoft is desperate. And it can go one of two ways, because we've seen developers in this situation before where there's been a lot of, you know, not great stuff, and they've had, you know, something great come out. EA spent most of last gen just coming out with stinker after stinker and having a lot of issues, and then came out with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. And now they have a huge resurgence. Their EA Originals line is going really well and having a lot of really good stuff. They're having a lot more successes over on their side of the picket fence. Now it seems to be Ubisoft's turn. So are they going to turn around and are they going to have a bit of a renaissance, if you will? They better. Or, you know, is this potentially the end of the Ubisoft as we know it? Who knows? But it all does seem to point towards Assassin's Creed Shadows being the determining factor for that.
Yeah, so they either cook or they die.
So it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. I do not envy the devs of this game, because, my God, I guarantee there's a lot of 80-hour weeks going on over there right now, because they're probably putting pedal to the freaking metal.
Yeah.
But absolutely crazy stuff going on. But, you know, this is Assassin's Creed, baby. I mean, we shall see. I'm definitely very excited for Shadows. I will still be there day one, just now on March 20th. But anyway, do you have any thoughts about, you know, the Shadows delay or the Ubisoft call? Anything you want to specifically talk about?
Well, I hope that if anything comes out of this, Ubisoft just starts making good games again. Just bangers that will just, like, stand the test of time.
Yeah, I do really hope that we get that, because a lot of companies have chased after the live service element. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten enough flops now that I do think the larger industry is aware that right now what sells is just good old-fashioned game. Like, good game. Like, people are tired of gimmicks. People are tired of that sort of stuff. So I'm really hoping that Ubisoft is part of that crowd of people that understand that they need to really focus on this stuff. They, in order to keep themselves afloat right now, instead of trying to be money hungry, they need to deliver quality. And then they can try to squeeze whatever they can out later. But right now, they've got to give us something of quality.
Good game.
Or they're going to sink, regardless of how many microtransactions they put in. So, you know, they got to kind of put profit aside for a second and figure out how to get our main profit back, which is purchase of the game. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. Hopefully they are taking that lesson and learning from that and growing from that. And I'm still excited. Just cautiously excited.
Yes.
But, you know, we'll see. We're not too far away. We're just a couple months out now from Assassin's Creed Shadows, hopefully. We'll see. Maybe there'll be another delay. Who knows? At this point, we're just here for the ride, but we've got plenty of Assassin's Creed to play in the meantime.
Yeah, so, plenty.
Yeah, like I said, remember to do that trivia question. Remember to check us out over on Patreon if you haven't already, because we're also trying to use it as the main communication hub as far as updates go for episodes, different things like that, stuff that we are adding / including into the scene. All the latest updates you can find over there. And so thank you very much for watching / listening. Lucas, you got anything else you want to say about Assassin's Creed 2, World of Assassin's Creed, Resync?
I cannot wait to just dive into the story more. It's going to be so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't even know.
Some of them might. If you played before, or if you just heard through its reputation, I mean, it's one of the greatest games ever made. And so it's a fantastic time. I cannot wait to get further in as well and just really flesh this out and get into the nitty-gritty of it. But that's been our time. Appreciate you, Mucha. We'll be back for our second episode next week.
Yeah, I need to go to sleep because it's almost 2:00.
Yep, it's a little late.
I gotta work at 8 a.m.
Have fun with that.
I won't.
But I appreciate you guys, Mucho. Hope you have a good time. And remember, everything is true. Nothing is permitted. Wait. Nothing is true. Everything is permitted. Peace out.